Introduce yourselves, please.
Hi, I'm Nicola, and I play guitar and sing.
I'm Jake, I play drums and sing in Do.
I'm Dean, and I play guitar.
In Do.
In Do.
Because, you know, it's either one way or the other. Either no one says the name of the band, and then I have to pull it out, or you get it too much. First time on the West Coast, London. However, London by way of Southampton and Essex and Aberdeen, I believe.
That's right.
2013, and your second album, and the last album, came out in September. Is there something you're amazed no one has asked you?
I'm amazed that no one has asked Nicola what it's like to be a woman in a band.
People ask me that every
day. Hey, Nicola, I have a question. I'm not going to ask you that. Oh, yeah, we're getting a little bit of British cynicism. And so, wait, I'm from New York. I'm supposed to brand the sarcasm.
I wish that people would let me ask them why they keep asking that question.
Ooh. Ooh. We can arrange that. I can make that happen. I'll set you up with some people.
Set me up with some sexist reporters.
I know.
Tear them to shreds.
That classified ad. That infamous classified ad. What did that classified ad say?
Person seeks other person for thing. But it didn't say that. It said, looking for other people to start a band that sounds like this, yada yada, no time wasters, something. And it had a picture of Sleater Kinney, I believe.
So was anybody who showed up based on this spec and the picture you had, that you were like, did they read anything?
Yeah, interestingly enough, the first person we ever played with, because Nicola and I met, like, I posted the ad and I got a ton of replies, and then Nicola replied, and she was by far the kind of the best reply, and we kind of bonded pretty instantly, and we met up and we kind of had a lot of stuff in common. We started writing music together, and then there was another person who replied to the ad, and I kind of thought, yeah, they sound okay too out of all the kind of sea of shit. And it was before Do actually became a band, but we jammed with him for like a couple of months maybe and started to write some initial ideas, and he was a person that I feel like all of the stuff that was in the ad kind of went over his head, and it was a very strange fit, and I don't think we ever really bonded with him or musically or otherwise that much, and it was a bit of an odd one.
But just think, if you stuck with him, the name of the band could have been Sea of Shit.
It could have been, which is arguably a better name.
What an opportunity! And it's like, it would have been SOS as your acronym.
Oh.
And you just could have solved all your problems, so when there's Google, everybody doesn't get to John Doe.
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
You make a very good point.
You did put Sleater Kinney in there. You talk about Breeders, but early on, when you got together and you were talking about what you wanted this to be, what did you talk about?
I feel like when I put the advert up, it wasn't really on my mind to have anyone of any particular kind of, like, gender wasn't really on my mind. It was kind of, I wanted just anyone who was on the same wavelength, and whether that be, like, men or women or anyone of any kind of orientation or, you know...
A frog.
It could have been a frog.
Frog would have been a bad name for the band. That would have been a much worse Google search.
Then people would say, what's it like to be a frog in a band?
Right. Well, there's so many jokes there, and we're not going to do any of them, because they're all bad.
It would be a more interesting question.
And your first album would have been Lily Pad. I mean, right? You would have been all set.
It would have been great.
Ready to rock.
But no, it was like, in terms of when me and Nicola first met and decided how we wanted to kind of proceed, we talked a lot about, I guess it was Breeders, Sleater Kinney, early Weezer, and we found a kind of common ground in just like, I think we both just really liked rock music, and I feel like in an age where I feel like it's kind of slightly uncool to like just admit that you like good.
You mean
rock
to be
music.
actually be a guitar band?
Yeah.
And actually fulfill what that means, as opposed to we're a guitar band.
Yeah.
To actually get the soul behind what that actually means.
Because we like music with a lot of, I guess, what's the word? Like, you know.
Feeling.
Exactly. Like feeling and passion. And I feel like at the time when we met, I was kind of frustrated by some of the bands I was in, and also the kind of scene that I was part of as part of those bands. It was very kind of like pretentious and a little bit lacking in kind of obvious emotion, because it's almost, it was considered kind of uncool to show too much kind of like feeling and passion. And when we met, we were on exactly the same page in terms of we just like rock music, and
we like, both have a lot of feelings.
What, well, gosh golly, what a concept.
And then Dean joined, and luckily he also has a lot of feelings.
Yes.
It's good, Dean, that you fit in on the feeling factor.
Yeah, it's true.
See, that I felt that. That was very short, but I felt it.
I think I'm 90% indifference and 10% intense, raging passion.
There are either more classical training in music or parents that were involved in the industry. So tell me a little bit about that combo punch of how music got into your heads early on.
Well, for me, I started playing violin from a really young age in school. I was kind of chosen from a music test in this little primary school I went to. So a few of us kind of chosen based on like our ear for the notes on the piano and singing to learn violin. And then at some point I decided that was a bit boring and I'd rather play guitar. Yeah, my family aren't particularly musical. I think my dad played like clarinet or something at some point in his life, but no, they've always been very supportive.
My mum and dad were kind of both, well, my dad more so, but my mum a little bit too, were kind of, have always been like hobbyist musicians and just doing it for, and just big fans of music. So when I was really young, my dad had a bunch of, he had like early kind of, you know, home studio stuff and a couple of like guitars and stuff. And I'd kind of wander over to them as a kid and kind of prod them. And when they kind of saw that I was semi-interested, they kind of let me like fuck on them, I guess. And it kind of went from there, my interest in it. And they were very, very, very supportive and nurturing and stuff. So that is all their fault, really.
Let's get to the music. What is the filter for a Doe song? How do you know when you've got a song that is right for this band?
I feel like it's when one of us will write an idea and then we'll bring it in and go, guys, I've got this idea, and then we'll play it and the other two will go, nah, and then that's how we know it's a Doe song.
We're quite ruthless, which I think is good, because it means, I think, that the songwriting is of a better quality. But yeah, we're quite ruthless and we're comfortable enough with each other that if someone brings something that doesn't feel right, we can be like, no. And sometimes we'll give it a slight go, but we know pretty quickly if we can write something better.
So how far do you take it? And like, where's that point where you just go, I'm sorry, we've tried as hard as we can and this is just not gonna...
Yeah, it varies. I think there's like a famous example among us of like a song that Jake wrote that got canned, like, I don't know, within like one practice, but then it's gone on to be a song under Jake's like solo thing. So stuff finds a way. Like, if we don't use it, it will be used for something else.
I know that you've got a UK label and then you've got a label here. Now, when you chose that label for this latest recording, did other labels come after you? Was there any sort of, how did you get to them, other than that you seemed like nice people and they didn't go, hey babe, I want to sign you?
In the UK, it's obviously a much smaller scene, so we know a lot of the more independent labels already on a friendly basis. And we used to work with another one called Specialist Subject Records, who are great, and they're an amazing label. But we'd put the last few releases out with them, like, well, two actually, and we just felt like it was time for something new. So we talked to a few labels, but BSM, Big Scary Monsters in the UK, they were just so enthusiastic and they were really on the ball with following up. They really wanted to put it out and they really displayed a lot of enthusiasm about the music we were writing. So that was like a big pull for us in the UK. Yeah, we just like to do different things. So that's why we chose them.
And then what about here? How did it get to the label?
Well, Top Shelf, we had met them. I think they knew of us and we knew of them personally through friends of ours in the UK initially. And then we met them whilst we were in Austin for South By last year and got to kind of like talk to them and chat with them and they kind of saw us play, and we played one of the shows that they were putting on, that they asked us to do, which was really cool. And also they're a label that we had kind of seen from afar and liked quite a lot of the bands on, and really liked the way that they went about doing things. And we always kind of, when we were thinking of like American labels, US labels to that were suitable to put out this album, we thought, oh, wouldn't it be great, like Top Shelf would be like a really great one, because we really like what they do a lot. So we were absolutely kind of thrilled to bits when they kind of came to us and said they wanted to put it out.
Are you grown up yet?
Am I grown up yet?
Are you because you know you got this record about growing up.
Oh, see, I thought you were. I thought
so.
I,
so are you grown up yet? Have you figured out in this endeavor of making this record that's all about this? Have you figured out whether you're grown up yet?
Yeah. So I think growing up is a process for a start. So you know you can be a little bit grown up at 15, but you can be a lot more grown up at 30.
Or you can be not grown up at my age.
Exactly. It
and
depends.
Maybe that's okay.
It's an internal thing. So this album is more about the process of growing up. A couple of people have been like, oh, you're not even that old. And I think people sometimes think we're younger than we are. So we're not really old.
Well, in a world where there are bands that and artists that are 16 that are topping the charts.
Yeah.
You know,
we're old hats.
This was such a great quote about the skin on your arm being less elastic. So after I went and read that, I started going in my arm and going, oh my goodness, what's happened to mine?
Oh no, sorry.
You are young to be thinking about death.
Yeah, well, I'm fascinated by how fascinated we are when a very old famous person dies. I mean, obviously it's sad, but it's fascinating to me that in Western culture we're so upset by death, especially death of super old people. Sometimes people in their 90s will be like
it's such
a
surprise.
Yeah, oh my god, I can't believe this person has died. So I think that's a really strange way.
I know. So it takes over social media in a way that before there was social media. You had to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, guess who just died?
I think we're a band that are interested in not repeating patterns of our own or other people's music. And there's a lot of music in the kind of scene that we're in made by all male bands that is focused on, I want to stay young. I want to get with my friends forever. I want to avoid all responsibility.
Really? There's music like that?
Yeah. Surprising, I know.
I've been living under a rock, obviously.
I'll send you some.
Oh, no, it's okay. Here. I get it every week.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of explore a different side of that, which is the female side, where you're put under a lot of responsibility from a young age, and also the juxtaposition of having to feel like you need to look young and you need to act young and you need to appear young. And I wanted to kind of write an honest lyrical path about what the path of aging is like in a positive way for women, and how that can be different from an antithesis musically from, yeah, I want to be young and I don't want any responsibilities and my mom still does my washing, which is a lot of the lyrics of the band's.
There are, you see, you are just old enough that you're still considered millennial, but you're not necessarily the ones that are sharing, you know, 24 people to an apartment and do have the mom still doing their laundry. There's a lot of that.
And my mom was making me do her laundry from when I was about 10. So.
I listened to the cover, and what was, again, because I know that music so intimately and so deeply, and every single inch of it, yeah, is that you were very reverent to certain things, particularly the guitar. You were reverent to certain things, but then where did you know what your spin on it was going to be to make it your own? Because you were reverent. But it still became, if people didn't know the Cars, if somebody was 21, yeah, it fits into your, you know, your songs pretty darn well.
I think that partially comes from the fact that we learned it live first. And I've always loved the song. Dean had never actually, had you even heard the song before?
Wow. Had you heard any Cars songs?
No.
Wow, very interesting.
Yeah, so Dean hadn't heard it before. It was like, here's a song, learn it. I knew the song, but I hadn't really listened to it that much between... Well, I hadn't really listened to it since the time that we said we were going to learn it. And I don't know if you heard.
And how did you choose that Cars song over any other Cars song?
It's just an absolute banger, isn't it?
Oh, it's beyond a banger.
And that intro is just kind of like so exciting. Yep. And we just wanted a big kind of fun dad rock song to play, and it's just such an iconic like intro.
It's so funny. I've never heard the Cars called dad rock.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Well, I learned them through my dad, so...
No, but it's but you have a very different lens for dad rock than most human beings do.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you reckon dad rock is?
Oh, dad rock is Led Zeppelin, and it's that. It's really classic-y rock.
Yeah.
And the Cars were right on that border, and they went through new wave. Even Fiction. Who's the author?
Oh, it's Stephen King. So I'll tell you a little something about that one. It was 2 years ago, our first ever South by Southwest, and we'd written this new song, but it didn't have any lyrics, and we wanted to play it at South by Southwest, because we always kind of write the lyrics after the melody. So I just had to kind of lock myself away in this little room we were staying in, and actually it was a big room in a really nice house of Jake's friends. But and I had to just write all the lyrics in a couple of hours that night because we wanted to play it the next morning at the showcase we were doing. And I happened to be reading Pet Sematary at the time and feeling annoyed about the fact that the female characters in the book are only really explored in the sense of how they react to...
He doesn't know how to write are reacted for shite.
No.
He does not.
Obviously, you know, there's exceptions. Like, Carrie is such a cool story
that's
forgiven.
That's true.
And I do
love
Stephen King.
Because she is the subject of the...
Yeah, exactly. And then I was reading another Stephen King book recently, which was... what's that vampire one that I was reading? Salem's Lot. And it's so weird. Like, all of the women, it's kind of like, she was really young and had a supple ass and stuff. And, like, maybe not quite that bad. But the way he intros the female characters is all about their physical being, and the female characters are so rooted around how the males react to them. And I love Stephen King books, but that pissed me off, and I desperately needed some lyrics, so the two met.